Hey, good evening and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind from Believer City Church, Menominee, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Tim and we are broadcasting via the web as well as locally on 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight. We are rewinding our Sunday message from November 12th entitled Sanctification from the text 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 1 through 12. And let's talk to our Lord before we get started this evening. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for always showing up here each and every week, for being such a big God that you can reach out and come upon every believer that is tuned in this evening, whether they are locally here in one of our small groups in Menominee and Dunn County and beyond, as well as those who are on the web throughout the world that join us here faithfully. May our hearts be open to receive what you have for us this evening, and may you be glorified by what we walk away from and pleased by our response to your word. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for being able to delve into your word this evening. Amen.
There's this interesting phenomenon in physics where sound vibrations in one object can cause a nearby object to produce sound if the original sound is produced at just the right frequency or pitch. All material objects have what is called a resonant frequency, which is the natural frequency at which it vibrates, and a sound wave oscillating perfectly at the object's resonant frequency will cause it to start vibrating spontaneously. If, for instance, you were to hold down the G note on a piano so that the string is free to vibrate, and then you plunk the G note an octave below it, the vibration of the lower note will cause the higher string naturally to sound even though you didn't strike it, simply because the lower note is vibrating at the higher string's resonant frequency. A note that is sounded at the resonant frequency of a crystal goblet, if it's loud enough, will cause the goblet to vibrate so much that it shatters. This is called sympathetic vibration, and not only does it make for some fascinating science experiments, it also provides us with a vivid analogy for an aspect of the Christian life that is absolutely vital but often overlooked, something called sanctification. Sanctification refers to the process whereby Christians become holy. It is about acquiring and living in holiness, and the Bible is quite clear that this is essential to the Christian life. In one place it says it as bluntly as can be, that without holiness no one can see God. The challenge here is that often the language of holiness conjures up for us images of somber people who have a long list of things they do and don't do, and who feel they need to impose this list on everyone else. But this is not how the Bible conceives of holiness. The Bible continually describes it as something that God does in us and through us as He claims us for Himself and works His holiness out in us. In one place it says it like this, "May the God of peace Himself sanctify you through and through." In this sense, holiness is an objective characteristic or quality that God imparts to those who belong to Jesus, not a subjective quality that we obtain through moral effort. We are, in one sense, passive recipients of our holiness. And yet at the same time, holiness is, in fact, about a way of life. It is about men and women actively thinking and speaking and living in a way that reflects God's own holiness. In one place, the Bible says we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. In another place it says, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Well, these two pictures of holiness, that it is something we passively receive, but also something we actively pursue, can be brought together perhaps if we think about it with the analogy of sympathetic vibration. Because in sympathetic vibration, the sounding note is at just such a frequency that it causes the adjacent object to vibrate spontaneously. And at the same time, there is something about the nature of the object that it will vibrate if it meets a sound wave at the perfect pitch. Our holiness is a matter of our sympathetic vibration, so to speak, with God's own holiness. The sounding note, you might say, is the Holy Spirit. And because this note is indeed a perfect pitch, perfectly conveying to us God's perfect holiness, when it comes into contact with our hearts, passive though they may be, it causes us to begin vibrating in sympathetic harmony with Him. That is to say, our thoughts and words and deeds take on the character and the quality of His thoughts and words and deeds. In this way, we are altogether passive in our sanctification and yet deeply active as we live in harmony with His holiness. Or as the Bible says it, we will be holy because He Himself is holy.
Sanctification, our subject matter for this evening, is one of those big religious words. And that means it tends to get lost in our modern culture. And I think that happens because we so easily see issues like sanctification often as spiritual options, you know, like leather seats or satellite radio. And it is crucial that we understand that this thing, what it is, what place it has in our Christian experience. Sanctification is, in fact, essential to our rebirth experience. It's fundamental, really, to our successful walk through this life. And certainly it's pivotal, that is, in whether or not we actually live pleasing to God. Our text tells us that it is indeed His will that we live sanctified, that we live apart from the pursuits of this world, different than those who have never known redemption. Now, on Sunday, I spoke of both positional as well as practical sanctification. Positional sanctification is given to us as part of the free gift of salvation, and it's provided by Christ on the cross. It is our standing in heaven, and it really comes from Christ and Christ alone. Our part really is only the acceptance of the fact that He has cleared our debt on His behalf. Practical sanctification is a living and it's a growing thing. So as we learn, as we grow, as we survive testing, and as we essentially fall deeper in love with our Redeemer, we advance in sanctificational standing. We grow stronger and we become more and more like our Creator. The essence of sanctification is the practice of holiness. Now that usually helps us very little, that fact, because that word too is culturally archaic and seemingly unknown in its practice. We know that holy is an overwhelming attribute of God, our Creator, and thus the practice of that, the practice of such is essentially the manifest of life in the same quality thereof God that we follow. Paul begins herein to lay out some of the issues that betray holiness and betray sanctification. The first of which is our sexual practices. Now, we tend to latch hold of the world's language when it comes to these issues. We like to say making love. But when it is premarital and it is without God's involvement, hey man, it's anything but love. In fact, it's generally quite the opposite. Well, unless you mean loving yourself. No one involves themselves in the practice of premarital sex by saying, well, you know, I don't really want to do this. Hey baby, I don't believe we really should do this. But, you know, because I love you so much, I'm willing to have sex with you. No. Such activity is quintessentially selfish. Even the acquiesce to involve oneself, ladies, is often, if I do, then he'll love me. Which, that in itself is, again, totally self-serving. Engaging in such literally says, I don't love you, I love me. Pornography is also another one of these struggles. Many will accept pornography as a victimless crime, but certainly as we covered on Sunday, it's anything but. Pornography is a cocaine. It will enslave you in the addiction to the adrenaline high it creates. And it causes untold pain to those on really both sides of its practice. It's been said that sin will take you farther than you want to go, it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Indeed. The greater problem lies in the belief that feelings and emotions are king. How I feel is always righteous in our day, and it's in how I feel is justified because, you know, it's how I feel. And seldom does anyone stop and consider the damage that has been done by letting feelings lead the way on our decisions. No one looks over their shoulders on this subject, either corporately, nationally, or even personally. And yet, we just keep on enshrining our emotions as the great motivation in life. But when you yourself has become your God, then you yourself does the leading, and no matter the chaos, no matter the pain that results. And frankly, I don't think we make very good gods. Paul says that we should know, and that's his words, should know how to possess one's vessel, or better, how to control one's body. We should know how to control ourselves. And yet, you know, I do not believe that Paul is in any way insinuating that there's some sort of magic answer, magic elixir out there that you've missed along the way, and you just need to lay your hands on that. Sometimes, gang, simply stop it is our best solution. Stop it. Now, indeed, I firmly believe that God will come alongside us in this matter, just as he will in any other struggle in our lives, as long as it is indeed an actual, a faithful struggle on our part. So let me ask you, on these issues in your life, are you fighting? I mean, seriously, no holds barred fighting? What are you willing to do to deal with this issue? I mean, are you willing to break up what is clearly a dangerous relationship? Are you willing to get rid of your smartphone in exchange for, you know, a 9-key? Are you willing to get serious? Because if you are, I promise you, so is the Holy Spirit. Now, so much of our practical sanctification growth comes through the dawning of realization, if you will, that you are not the center of the universe. That everything's not about you and your happiness and getting what you think you deserve. Now, we've dealt with that issue over the past few weeks in our discussion concerning horizontal Christianity, and we noted how many people that we cared for very deeply have been knocked out of the race because of this very issue. Paul herein again calls us, as part of the sanctified Christian life, to love one another, to love each other as God loves us. And that love is exercised in a priority of others over oneself. Did you catch that? Our love is exercised unilaterally and without expecting recompense. And I'm here tonight to tell you that even if you are the hardest pagan sinner, you need to know that God loves you perfectly and completely. That God sent his son to pay for your sin too. He simply asks in reply that you come in from the cold and receive what he has for you. Now, our love for each other is indeed one of the greatest reflections of God's love that we can manifest. Our love for others says, hey, we get it. We get God's love. It says to others, this is that love we want you to experience. And when we fail in this, we fail in reflecting God's love, and we fail in reflecting the very persona of God in a righteous light. And listen, I cannot overstate what a serious thing this is. It is a catastrophic sin to misrepresent God, and the problem with that is it has a domino effect. And it just cascades from our life to the next life to the next life. And yet how shameful we can be in the failure of this issue, in the failure of this practice. Now, lastly, this week, Paul, he spoke about the fact that while still in the realm of the sanctified life, our leading of a quiet life wherein we mind our own business and our own work, that this too actually is a reflection of the Spirit indwelling in us. And it has much to do with this idea of coming up from amongst them and being different, being special, being separated, being, that's right, sanctified. There should be no mistaking for you, mistaking you for one in the world. People around you should, in praise or in ridicule, be able to quickly acknowledge that, hey, that guy? Yeah, that guy over there, he's a Christian.